We are, people are creative on a lot of different levels. So I put a slide in, but I'll say it now because it fits a little bit better. If you would like to create a just okay is not okay video. Now, a half hour is way too long. We're thinking 30 seconds. But if you have something clever that you would like to put together, we would love to see it. And it will be approved first. But anyway, so if you would like to do that, we would love to have you do it. Okay? This is the SEC 400-meter men's hurdles from May of 2019. This is the last hurdle in this. It's for, so whoever wins will be the champion of the SEC for the 400-meter hurdles. And this is how that race ended. And the guy's name on the top is Infinite Tucker. He won. He wins. The guy diving wins. I have no idea who number five is. He just came in second. But so Infinite Tucker, I thought about showing the video, but it's hard to watch when he lands. His teammate was nice, though. He ran over there to try to help him out. But I'm curious, does anybody have any idea where Infinite Tucker placed the year before in the finals of the 400-meter men's hurdles? Second. And I love this picture. It almost ended up on the front of our annual report, but it's just this idea that he really had something that he was living for. And one of the things that Paul says, and that we're just going to look at one of the verses, but it's this idea about running to win. But he talks about the verse just after that. He says, they're athletes that train, but they do it for something that won't last. But we're living for something that will last. And so I'm thinking, look at this guy ready to pull it all out there. And I'm thinking, well, where am I at with this kind of thing? So I think that's the, as you see this as the background for the rest of our slides, is the kind of, maybe you can ask yourself, where am I at with how I live my life for the Lord? I think it's something that would maybe help us. But our theme for these next few Sundays is both just okay is not okay, and then also run to win. AT&T gave us just okay is not okay. The Apostle Paul gives us run to win. But just okay is not okay when something matters to you. And obviously this meant everything to Infinite Tucker. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, but that's how it's spelled. So our question that we need to ask ourselves this morning is, what matters to you? What matters to you? Somebody said, you can tell what matters to somebody if you look at their checkbook. I don't know how you do that now because nobody has any checkbooks, but what matters to you? I remember when I first went to pastor our first church, I got a job in a prison as a purchase and supply clerk. And I sat across from a lady, Sharon Farson, and this lady was dressed to the nines every day. She was just beautiful every day, hair perfect. And we were talking. She was, I don't know, I was in my early 20s, so she was probably here mid-40s, maybe early 50s, I don't know. And we got to talking one day about washing our hair. That's what ladies talk about when they're in the thing. So we're talking about washing our hair, and she says, I wash my hair once a week. Now, my hair is so thin, it could be washed twice a day and not be overly washed. I said, once a day? You're kidding me. She said, no. I mean, I said, once a week? You're kidding me? No. And then what I found out was just incredible. She went to the salon every week. So she would go get her hair done once a week and then just kind of pick it out in the mornings a little bit and then come in looking like she had just been to the salon. And I just remember thinking, you're kidding me. But looking good mattered to her. So for us, we all have things that matter to us. And the one thing I think in our culture that is so strong, at least in the world I live in, is that people care about their kids and their grandkids. I mean, we do for our kids now what I can't even imagine my parents doing for me. I mean, I remember when it started out. I remember when McDonald's came to our town and what an incredible thing it was. We went there. You got $3. You got $3. I always went for the burgers because it was like the most bang for your buck. But now, the way we treat our kids, we'll go to, and I've done this before. I'll take one kid to McDonald's, I'll take another kid to Burger King, and I'll take a third kid to Taco Bell. And as I'm sitting in the second and third line, I'm thinking, are you kidding me? But in our society and culture, our kids and grandkids mean everything. I mean, we just, but so many other things. But what matters to you? And obviously, the question is, does church matter? Does church matter? And how much does it matter? I mean, it matters some because we're all here, but how much does church matter? The Apostle Paul says this. He's a little passage where he's talking about husbands and wives, but he's talking about Christ and the church. He says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. So Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So what was Jesus' thought on the importance of the church? It was important enough that he would give himself up for the church. So I think it's very important. And I just wrote this down. I don't know what everybody's experience is in the church, but these are just some personal thoughts. I love the church because the church loved me. I grew up in a Free Methodist church. For most of my life, we departed for a while, went to a Baptist church, and then we came back. And so I spent like high school at the church that I had grown up in. But I love the church because the church has loved me. The church that I grew up in, the church that I've pastored, I've been here twice. People have loved me. I mean, people have done incredible things for me. When we moved here, I mean, like I say incredible things, people gave me money. And sometimes a large amount of money. I think, why would you do that? So the church has loved me. I love the church because the church has loved me. But it's also taught me. It's also challenged me. It's also encouraged me. And it's gave me most of my nearest and dearest friends I've gotten from the church. Now, that isn't just the reason why church should be important. And maybe that is not your experience, but it has certainly been my experience. But something is true too. The church has cost me. But it has been a worthwhile investment. And so I think for some of you that have spent years and years and years investing in the church, to me it's a worthwhile investment. And but maybe your experience hasn't been this in church because a lot of churches aren't that way. This church isn't perfect. The church I grew up in wasn't perfect. I can still, driving home from church, man, my folks would just eat the pastor for lunch. That's why I got so much pressure on my shoulder because I'm just imagining you going home talking like I heard my parents talk. Oh, yeah, okay. Okay, whatever. I can't remember. So anyways, so one of the questions becomes, why are these commercials so funny? I hope everybody, or I'm assuming everybody's familiar, that AT&T has these string of commercials, and they're just hilarious. But the reason they're hilarious is because there's just no way they could be true. Hey, did you hear I'm reinstated? You know, you just wouldn't hear that. It wouldn't happen. So, that's a great commercial. And if you can think of one, I really hope you would turn them in. We're going to watch a few more. They're just brief, but the truth is, with all of this, is that this idea of just okay is not okay. Now, the bad thing with this slogan or whatever it is that I love it, I'm tuned into it, and I cannot stop saying it. So, but I don't want it to become cliche-ish, but I do want us to think about the truth that just okay cannot be okay. It's interesting today. I walked in, Dennis Ritchie, who's one of the most absolute treasures. Seriously. Yeah. Gail, you're lucky. Likewise, Dennis, you're lucky. Likewise. Anyway, where was I at? Dennis. So he comes in, and so I come in, and he says, you were poofing on your mic last week. So he said, let's fix that. Now, unfortunately, it didn't fix. But here's the whole point. He was like, just okay is not okay. It wasn't working quite right, so let's fix it and make it better. I mean, I like that. And so, again, with a whole idea of the church and who God is, can okay be just okay? But the bad thing is, it's easy to fall into this idea that just okay is okay. So we need each other. So I want you to think, and I hope you'll read your reports. I hope you'll read my report that I put in the thing. Well, one of the things I just wonder about is, what is our corporate attitude of our church? If somebody could really kind of look, are we a church that just seems to accept that okay is just okay? I mean, just okay is okay. Or is just okay not okay? What is our leadership's attitude? Now, certainly I'm a part of the leadership. Our church board is a part of the leadership. We have other designated leaders in our church, but that's not everybody. But what is our leadership's attitude? You know, I think sometimes we can just feel like, oh, there's so much pressure in life, and we don't want to experience that same pressure at church. But then the question for you becomes, too, what is your personal attitude? Because what our personal attitudes are is what makes up the corporate attitude. Now, I almost forgot that I put this in here. I didn't even center it. Pastor Brian, you can evaluate that, whether it's good or not. But I was thinking, I thought this. If you are okay with the church being okay, then we have become completely irrelevant, in my opinion. And here's what I mean by that. We supposedly serve this incredible God, and we supposedly have this incredible message. And how can we be just okay with it? How can we serve such a great God with such an incredible message that God says, you have got to get this out, and then be satisfied with just okay? Now, I've been in the church, so if I go to a church and I feel like a church is saying that, you know, that their attitude is just okay is okay, then I think, I don't want to be a part of this because it doesn't equate. How could this incredible God with his incredible message, and then how can a church not be loving when Jesus said, this is how you'll know you're my disciples, by the way you love one another. And if churches don't take loving one another seriously, to me they're irrelevant. I'm thinking, you can look as good as you want, but if you're not doing the things that the head of the body, Christ, is saying to do, then what in the world are we doing? But again, this is hard on our own. This is really hard on our own. I've reconnected, and you may have heard me say it recently, I've reconnected with a couple of my best man at my wedding and a friend that I grew up with in high school. And you know, I just keep saying, I got to live better. And my friend said, oh, do you feel like you're living low? You feel like you're living low? Do you feel like everybody around you is like higher than you are, so to speak? Or is that what you're... And it's like, no, that's not it at all. I don't know where I'm at, but I want to be here. If I'm here, I want to be here. Because that's what it demands. And so I can't be satisfied with wherever I am. I've got to get better.
Just okay is not okay. And it's not just for me, it's for you too.
And so I think it scares me sometimes when I feel like I see in churches that just okay is okay. And I've been there from time to time. Sometimes you're overwhelmed. You can't even think anything differently. You're just surviving. And I get it. But I'm just saying, overall as a church, it's like, man, we've got an incredible God with an incredible message. How can we walk around like it doesn't really make a difference? But it's easy to do it. So by the way, I'm not going to share a whole lot today. I'm going to yell a lot. Because I just keep thinking, you know, this is such a big topic. We're going to have to talk about it as we go. But I'm thinking, I want to be fired up about it. I want you to be fired up about it. I mean, that number four, number five, I mean, they were neck and neck. For all I know, 5-1 last year. He looked like he was going to win this that year. But no. So here's the Apostle Paul. AT&T is smart and they got a great slogan. But the Apostle Paul says this, don't you realize in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize, so run to win. So run to win. And then I think there's a kind of a thought behind all of us, well, I'm not the Apostle Paul. You know, I don't have the same personality as him, and I'm thinking you're not the Apostle Paul, but you are a rational human being. And if I could somehow look at everybody's life, I mean, I could audit your life, I could tell you what matters in your life. It doesn't take a brain surgeon. If I had the opportunity to look at your life, what you looked at, what you spent your money on, what you invested your time in, what you talked about, I would know what matters in your life. I mean, you don't have to be a fired up Apostle Paul to have things that matter in your life. The thing is, for the Apostle Paul, Jesus needed to matter. He says, I'm not a slave to anybody, but I've become a slave to everyone because I want to see as many people saved as I can. And I'm thinking, that kind of life seems to match up with the gospel. The kind of idea that, well, certainly, yeah, it'd be great. Somebody came to know the Lord. Yeah, it would be nice if I could be a part of that, maybe. That doesn't match up. But I get that it's hard to be intense, and you cannot be intense on your own. You cannot be. I lifted weights this week. I had 15 reps. That was it. 15 reps the whole week. Probably about 45 pounds. Putting on my socks today, I threw my back out. Pulled my back out. I'm being serious. You know how it is when it's like, all of a sudden it's just like, shh. That was me this morning. Shh. It's okay. I don't think it's bad, but bad enough. But anyways, I don't even know why I started saying all that. But you're not the Apostle Paul, but you are a rational human being. You do have important things in your life that matters. And the question is God one of them? And if God is one of them, the question is the church one of them? But again, it's this idea. Here's where I was going with that. It's the idea that we need each other. It's just hard to stay fired up on your own. Like, I want this to be a church where we're kind of saying, it's just okay, okay? I'll probably say it wrong 10 times. It's just okay, not okay? No, yeah, whoa, let's go! As opposed to acting like it doesn't matter. And I realize not everybody has got my personality. I don't want you to have my personality. But I want you to think, man, this church is on a mission. And God has put me in this church. Am I doing anything with that? Or am I just okay? You say, oh, I know people that aren't okay, and I think you're not okay sometimes. I get it. I'm just telling you now, I'm going on record. Just okay is not okay for me. You say, well, what is that going to mean in your life? I don't know. Here's what I hope. If you see me doing something that's not okay, you say, hey, pastor, did you go on record to say that just okay is not okay with you? Suck it up. Do it different. Except most of you wouldn't say anything to me. I'm amazed what we allow each other to get away with in the church. I mean, I'm completely amazed by it. I mean, we let people tear people apart verbally and just watch. We should be ashamed. It's quiet. Yeah, I get it. Just okay is not okay. It's not okay on so many levels with so many things, and that's what we're going to talk about in the future. But I just want to deal with the idea of, man, let's get this. Let's let our lives make sense with what we say we believe. Now, we're going to talk about these things over the next few weeks. One is the idea of reaching lost people. The truth is, all of us were lost at one time. Probably the truth is that somebody sitting here is lost. Doesn't mean you don't know who God is. Doesn't mean you know you're part of the story, but you've not experienced new life in Christ. You're just not there yet. But I tell you what, I hope you get there. Praying. We all pray. I find it hard to believe that there's a person here that doesn't pray some kind of way. But I'm talking about praying like it makes a difference. I mean praying like it makes a difference. I mean just praying like it makes a difference. You know, do you say, well, do you pray about your preaching? Yeah, I pray about how I'm preaching. But do I pray and pray and pray like it makes a difference? Not like I would want to. And then be in the church. This is the whole thing for me. I just keep thinking, we have lost the idea of how important the church is. There is a trend in Christianity today. And the research is called the people duns. D-O-N-E-S, duns. They spent their life in church and then they just realized, I'm done. This has got nothing for me. And I'm thinking, you can't be. Jesus died for the church. But you know one of the reasons why I think people leave the church is because the church has forgotten that they're important. It's hard for me being the guy every week. The guy stands here. It's hard for me to be fired up. Not hard for me to be fired up. It's hard for me to really take everything serious because I just feel, man, I'm just so weak. I'm just so ordinary. You say, oh, don't be hard. I'm not being hard myself like that. You know what I mean? It's just hard. But I've got to because I feel like God put me here. He said, man, you're there to lead. Just okay is not okay. Get it straight. Make it work. Being in the church is awesome. I mean, I've heard horror stories, but I got a lot of love stories that I've heard in the church. I mean, I'm a Nazarene pastor right now because I had this old Nazarene pastor just wouldn't leave me alone. Like, man, get off my back. I'm a Free Methodist. We're better than you anyway. But here's the truth. Working out the details and being the church, it's fun, but it's also frustrating.
pieces of the body, and we absolutely need each other to really function well. I mean, Courtney's doing okay on one leg, but she's not designed to do that. Father, it's the same for us. So I would pray somehow, and I don't know how we're going to do it, because we live in a world that just fights against this. I mean, we live in a world that just is constantly trying to separate us. We have porches today, but we don't sit on them anymore. We don't talk to our neighbors on them. We're isolated. It's just kind of the way it is. I have a dream for the church. I just would hope that this would be a place that people would love to come. They love to come because when they come, people love them. They love to come because when they come, they hear something that means something. They sing songs that are true and people believe. And their faith is encouraged when they see the